Stomping into your ears today is the Raging Robot Partycast. That's Ryan. I'm Josh. How's it going, Ryan?
It's going good. How about with you?
Pretty okay. I saw Godzilla this weekend, and that's why we're recording this episode.
I went out and checked it out on Monday. Good movie.
Oh, yes. More than good. Because, whoo, man. You don't know how long I've waited for them to actually make a decent Godzilla movie. It's been some years. Many of them. And many attempts have come and gone and failed.
That they have. Especially in America. Well, not many attempts in America, but all attempts in America have failed.
Yeah. So, welcome to our show. Other than Godzilla, did you watch anything good over the week?
I am continuing to go through Lucifer.
All right.
I am up to the third season now, I believe. It's a really good show.
Nice.
Yeah.
Trying to think of what else I did that weekend. I know that I went to one of my secret favorite stores, which is Lush Cosmetics, because they keep me pretty.
Yeah.
I will full-on endorse their Kalamazoo beard and face wash. Hey, sponsor us, Lush.
Yeah,
we'd be the strangest possible people to endorse your product. But hey, we'll do it.
We will. No, yeah, the only other thing I did is I went out to... So we have an old brewery here in San Antonio called The Pearl.
Yeah.
That got adapted, so I went there and did the farmer's market there.
Nice.
Overpaid on peanuts and kettle corn, but they were good. Then,
have all sorts of cool stuff there.
There is. There's a... My dad pointed out to me, because we went to a...
My mic just wandered off into space. Bear with me.
Hold on.
You can go ahead. I'm just...
Yeah, we went to a vegan bakery type place. That's really cool. Called 5 Points.
Okay. It's not the one I was thinking of.
Then they did yoga upstairs, too.
Okay. That sounds like a vegan bakery.
Yeah. Very hipster, and that's the thing, is that side of town's getting turned very hipster.
Yeah.
And so we did that.
Has been over the course of several years.
I got a chance to see 2 Irish wolfhounds
cool.
in person, which are really cool, really big dogs.
Yeah, they are. Well, I've got pretty much all of those Mortal Kombat figures except Kano. Not sure how I pulled that off. Don't know if I'll ever get Kano. We'll see. I've been doing photos with those on the Instagram account, which if you subscribe on there and listen to us, you've seen those. So thanks. This is all I can think of at the moment for the actual housekeeping.
Yep. At the moment.
So
sorry.
That's okay. My mic is currently a mess. So let's go ahead and get into the movie. I've already asked earlier today, but pretend like I didn't. Was this your favorite Godzilla movie? Or actually, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. Was this your first Godzilla movie?
The answer is a half kind of. I have seen the Broderick version once.
So no.
So yeah, basically no. The Broderick version, famously terrible movie, famously basically ended the careers of...
Everyone.
Yeah, Roland Emmerich, and I forget who his partner was at that point in time.
Dean Devlin. Yeah.
Who, I think they were part of that filmmaking group we were talking about when we were talking about Michael Bay. Yeah. Both of those who were part of the Michael Bay family of friends and had a hit with Independence Day and just couldn't maintain it.
Nope. They made a bunch of disaster movies of varying quality, and most weren't good.
I do like Day After Tomorrow with him, though, wasn't it? With Jake Gyllenhaal?
Was Jake Gyllenhaal in that? I don't even remember. But I remember The Day After Tomorrow, and I remember seeing that in my last year of high school and being like, oh, well, everyone in Texas and Mexico was fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it is them, but yeah. It's one of the ones in Ben Affleck. It's kind of one of those ones that, like, they made the string of terrible. That one's okay. It reminds me a lot of people talk about the dark days of Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
and all the bad films he makes, but they always include Payday in there, and I'm like, that's a good movie. I don't know why people hate that film.
I don't even know what that movie is.
The one where he invents the machine that can see into the future?
Nope.
Paycheck? Or it's Paycheck or Payday, one of the two, but...
Maybe Paycheck. That does sound like it was a movie.
I believe it was.
So, basically, Godzilla 98 was Ferris Bueller and most of the cast of The Simpsons against a giant, but not as giant as it should be, lizard.
Yeah. I guess I was watching a video off of Matt McMuscle's channel, and yeah, he was saying that the one thing Emmerich and the other guy, Emmerich and Devlin asked for is they want it to be able to run fast.
Yeah, because that's what Godzilla is known for, his ability to run fast.
And have giant legs.
I don't even remember if Gino had giant legs or not. I don't think so.
No, not really. But
didn't have the...
They are his most prominent feature, I believe.
The big old thighs that we all know and love. Godzilla probably shaped all of our taste in women right now.
Yeah.
He was the original thick. Him and Chun-Li. Oh, man. That was a weird take.
That was. You never know. Furries are a thing nowadays. Getting more and more. I see them at PAX South, but...
I wouldn't be surprised if they've always been at PAX South.
They probably have, but they're definitely more and more. Like, I've seen them every year I've gone, but it's definitely like, yeah, it's a growing number, and cool. Good on them.
Yeah, it's pretty much how I feel. I'm like, this isn't really my thing, but you know what? If it's yours... It's not hurting nobody.
No. I really like cosplay, and I'm like, hey, your suits look cool.
Yeah.
Besides that, again, I don't do it, but more power to you if you do.
I've seen your DeviantArt account, Ryan.
Yeah. Me and my inability to draw, but anyways, really random off topic, but so back to it. Yes, I didn't see 2014, and I've never seen any of the Japanese films.
Well, you're gonna.
Yeah.
Over the course of probably several years.
Yeah, I'll probably end up watching a few. I considered watching 14. When I looked up online, a lot of people were just saying it's just a bunch of talking. I guess the cool thing that he did that's not really in the film is that he had a tendency to shoot from the ground to show the just huge size of Godzilla, which not a lot of the films I don't think have done.
Yeah. It's not a bad movie by any means. It's just not what it should be, ultimately. Like, we all wanted more, and we didn't necessarily get more from it. But yeah, we got more with this one. And some people think that was bad, and those people are dumb and wrong.
I have seen a bit of internet debate back and forth of, yes, 2014 had entirely too much human drama, but I've also seen people pointing out, arguing that it's never been 100% monsters as some people are portraying it.
Hell to the no. It is mostly almost all humans and about 10 to 15 minutes of monsters in every film. Usually I would tell people, Godzilla movies are great to nap to because by the time you wake up, there's probably some shit going down.
Well, and then if I remember correctly, the Japanese one that came out before this, or
Shin Godzilla?
Shin Godzilla. That was almost entirely the government handling Godzilla's disaster.
Mishandling everything because it's an allegory for the, I believe, tsunami that occurred.
Yeah. And so I was just watching it. Like, everyone loves Shin Godzilla for that exact reason. But then I'm watching a lot of people crossing their arms going, Godzilla should not have any humans in it. And it's like, a bit weird.
Well, here's the thing is, I think we all just want more monsters because they're the stars.
Yeah.
And I will say this movie did a great job with its casting and overall humans in it, because none of them were particularly annoying. Like, I wasn't completely bored with them at the very least, as often is the case. But
one person for some people, but yeah.
Who?
For anyone that's seen the trailer, the professor that does the "Oh my god" and the guy that replies Zilla.
Oh, yeah, well,
he gets it's fine. A little grindy, but he never goes over the line, but I can definitely see where some people think he did go over the line of being annoying.
Since we always mess this up, I'm going to go ahead and say this will be a spoiler cast. There will be big spoilers for this movie about big monsters, so If you haven't seen it, maybe go see it and then pick up the rest of the podcast. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's a giant monster movie. You'll still probably enjoy it, even if you know what's going to happen going
in. Yeah, about to say, there's parts that, most of the parts that people enjoy, they can figure out within 30 seconds. So
continue at your own discretion, but by all means, do come back if you leave.
Yes.
We need you. So, I guess I can talk about my experience overall with Godzilla, because he's been like a very personal character to me over the course of my life, because I'm a real big boy. And so is Godzilla. I guess my love affair started with him around 95 to 96. I can timestamp that because it was around the time that Arkansas had a bunch of crazy tornadoes pop off. And I want to say it's right around that time period. And this is also when the Heisei era of films was really starting to kick off, and Sci-Fi Channel would direct bring them over, and they would be, I'm pretty sure they were dubbed at the time. Of course, famously, not well, but they're dubbed. And they'd just air them usually throughout an entire Saturday. And when that was going on, it was usually a fantastic Saturday for a kid in elementary school who was fascinated by this stuff.
So to back up just a tiny bit, Heisei being their third era of Godzilla, if I remember correctly?
I want to say it's the second.
Okay, because...
There's Showa, there's Heisei, and there's the Millennium series.
That's what I thought. Okay, I couldn't remember, but yes.
The Showa era is generally the first through older films, ranging from the black and white to the 50s through 70s, basically. And then when you get to 80s is when the Heisei era starts. Showa and Heisei being actual time periods in Japan's century, I believe that's how they determine where they are.
That is, I think technically almost all the films came under the Heisei or Showa. Like,
yeah,
almost
there's
all
a lot
the
more.
Came under the Showa era, I think, but...
Yeah. The originals definitely pop off then. But...
And there are different things, like the first three is where he's still considered a monster, and then the next three after that he becomes the guardian of Earth, right?
Yep, because they want that Gamera money, because Gamera was a kid-friendly character and was making a lot of money in Japan.
Yeah.
Gamera being a giant turtle monster who flies by spinning around like a UFO.
And at least in America, a lot of people, I think, would know him because of MST3, Mystery Science 3000.
Yep, that's a famous one.
That is one of their biggest ones.
I remember also at the same time, do you remember Trendmaster's Toys at all? They were a company that would mostly get out there licenses. Like, they had Tarzan when Tarzan was nowhere near possible. Like, anyone would be thinking about him before the Disney movie. They had just off-the-wall things like War Planets.
I probably saw them and played with a few, but...
I think they did Starship Troopers, I may be wrong.
They did, then my friend...
Starship Troopers having toys.
I'm about to say one of my friends does miniatures for Starship Troopers, so there's a market out there.
Yeah. So, Trendmasters famously had a line in the 90s called Godzilla King of the Monsters. I would now like to show Ryan the first toy I ever had from this series.
All right.
Are you ready for this?
Yes, I am ready.
What do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. What, Godzuki? Or...
Here you go.
Okay, so it's... The first thing they ever released, I guess it's easy, is the jet.
Yes, it is the Garuda flying warship that docks with Mechagodzilla. It wasn't the first toy they made, but it was the first one that I got. And they had a little tiny pilot figure that you could stick in there. It's got a grappling hook that has a little string that you can tie up monsters with, and it's got a missile. And all of them launch.
Yeah.
The little pilot was a member of the G-Force, who they did larger figures of as well, and they basically just looked like Power Rangers. So, that was my first Godzilla toy. It would not be the last. I actually rebought that later as an adult because I missed it, because it was just a cool toy.
Yeah.
It's just a little neat ship to swoosh around. Had that before I ever had an actual Godzilla. So I would say that my favorite movies are For whatever reason, I feel like this was literally the first draft, but Godzilla versus Space Godzilla. I think that they're just like, we need a new monster. And then they just wrote Space and then Godzilla on a board and went, all right. Big old boy with big old crystals popping out of his shoulders.
Okay.
I definitely liked the King Ghidorah into Mecha King Ghidorah, who we'll probably see maybe come back if this current series continues.
It won the weekend, but it also didn't make as much as the 2014, so...
Yeah, it's doing well, but not good.
No, but at the exact same time, much like Pacific Rim, these are selling overseas primarily.
Yeah, exactly. So,
these are not really being made for American audiences, but American audiences are still seeing them, so...
So, it's plausible that it will return, and I certainly hope that it does, because... Whew.
Yeah, I imagine we're going to get Kong versus Godzilla no matter what.
Yeah, that's coming.
Yeah.
And so am I. we're working blue today.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of my other favorite films. So around 95 was where I began, and then I came back around 2008 when I first moved here. And that was because the HEB Plus on Blanco and 1604, which is literally only for you if you live in San Antonio.
Yeah.
I don't know why I referenced that. Had a movie section that had almost all of the newer films in it. And I was like, huh. So I would just buy them. And the first one I got was the fantastically named Godzilla. Oh, man. It's hard to remember, so bear with me one second.
I know Destroy All Monsters often gets thrown out, which is part of the Millennial series, I believe.
That was one of the first big crossovers that they did in,
or was it?
I think, the Showa era. So the one that I was trying to say and it got stuck in traffic in my mouth was Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, giant monsters all out attack.
Yeah.
In that one, it is a complete reboot of everything in which Godzilla is once more a villain. And Mothra and King Ghidorah, Mothra is generally regarded as good, but King Ghidorah is actually a good guy in this movie, which is super weird. Baragon is there too, but nobody cares. And that one got me back into things. Continued on through the Millennium series with... Well, actually, I saw Godzilla 2000 around when it came out on VHS. That's how long ago that was. And then carried on through the Versus Mechagodzilla series, in which those had... Mechagodzilla made from the bones of the previous Godzilla.
Yeah.
So it was haunted.
To jump ahead a little bit, they almost seemed like they hinted at that for 30 seconds in this film. Like, I knew it wasn't going to be, but I'm like, I wonder if they're going to do that. That would be a heck of a twist.
I feel like they will do Mechagodzilla at some point.
Well, I know the director straight out came out and said that Mecha is his favorite, but they just didn't have the money to put Mecha, and so they went with the big four.
Yeah, you gotta do those first. So, that's about where I am with it. I had that. I had a dumb Godzilla toy in the 90s that had chrome-plated armor that you could put on him, which covered him in guns and missile launchers. It was sick.
Now, was it, which film is it that they actually brought Godzuki in, or Zilla, as they call him in the Japanese, and he just gets destroyed in 10 seconds?
Let's see. Manila.
And so,
debut.
Godzuki, or
I want to say it's Revenge.
Zilla is the name of the 1998 monster. And so Toho was super upset at that film.
Oh, are you talking about when they just whipped Zilla's ass?
Yeah.
That is in Final Wars.
Final Wars, yeah. That's the other one I'm thinking of that I've heard a lot about, and a lot of people point at that as, well, you want all monsters and just monsters fighting?
It's basically just there everything's fighting.
Yeah. You want no superhuman drama? It is one of the stupidest and silliest films ever made, but there you go. It is there.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to watch. It's just completely bonkers from start to finish, basically.
Yeah.
I forget what the line is that the villain who straight up looks like he's from any Japanese boy band says when Zilla just gets completely whipped after he sends him out, but it's pretty great.
Because they have that, and then they have another one where, oh, apparently they had one in United States, and like the soldier replies, yeah, that one sucked, or something like that.
I think it was something like that's what they called it or something.
Yeah, what they called it, but... So I guess we should probably talk a little bit about this film and introduction. Yes. So this one, from what I can tell, it starts after 2014. It starts with the professors from that film. I'm sorry.
Dr. Serizawa or not Dr. Serizawa?
Emma. Ah. It starts with Emma and Millie Bobby Brown being that's Emma's right, daughter, right. Who is the wife of Kyle Chandler. I don't know. Was she in the last film?
I don't remember her at all.
I was about to say, Kyle Chandler, I think, was in the last one, wasn't he?
I know that the one guy was definitely there. Dr. Serizawa was definitely there. But I don't remember her character. But it's also been the hottest of minutes since I've seen 2014. It was literally at the theater last I watched it, so...
Yeah, but we open on them, and they are sitting, staring. Well, actually, we open talking about Monarch, who has been, I guess, in all three of the films, because Kong Skull Island,
yeah,
which is constantly referenced to this, I apologize, is also part of this, and Monarch was in that one. And Monarch, I'll steal what almost every other person on... the internet is saying Monarch is S.H.I.E.L.D. They are S.H.I.E.L.D. for giant monsters. They're a secret organization that is watching and monitoring these, I guess, run by Ken Watanabe.
Yeah, he's definitely a big part of it. I know he's basically their authority on Godzilla because Godzilla's his friend.
Yeah. And so they sit there talking. Kyle Chandler's daughter, Millie Bobby Brown, 11 for most people from Stranger Things. He's going to send him a message, but then something happens, and what is it? They run across, and we come across Larva Mothra.
Yes.
And she is coming out of her, or I guess being born from her egg.
Cocoon thing.
And so we are introduced to the, what do they call the MacGuffin in this film?
Trying to think back on it. Is it the thing where they match the frequency or whatever?
Yeah.
The alpha frequency?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of my only qualms with the film is there's no such thing as an alpha animal of any sort. So.
No, there's not. They do point that out. Like, I think they incorrectly say that every single pack animal is led by an alpha. It's like, nope.
So that is unless I'm mistaken, I was going through the cast. I don't see her in the 2014 film.
No, I don't think she was in there.
So. Okay, so I was like,
yeah,
I don't
she's a new character, so we start in those two. Cut back to them. They produce a device that can, a MacGuffin, that has the ability to calm the monsters.
Yeah, so naturally people are going to want that.
Yes, and so the next scene, out of everything that randomly show up, is an explosion. And military forces with guns show up and hijack them, and they're hijacked by a...
guy from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, eco-terrorist guy from Game of Thrones. They also have a name, but I don't think many people or anyone really memorized what their name is.
Yeah, I completely forgot it.
Yeah. Which is in when we get to Kyle Chandler, Mr. Early Edition. I don't know if you remember that show.
I do, but I completely missed the fact that that was him.
Yeah.
He did a lot of yelling in this film.
He does. They pull him aside because he is studying wolves at this point in time.
Yes. Which...
after the death of his son in the first film.
Wolves, which do not have an alpha either.
Nope. The guy that said that later retracted it and spent years trying to retract it, but no one believed him.
Pretty much. I mean, it's been used in a lot of movies since. Like, it's a big thing in Jurassic World as well. And I mean, I kind of write it off like, you know what? It's... plausible. Monsters are different because they're not real.
Yeah.
There could be an alpha monster for all we know because In our world, that's untested and unknown. So, eh.
But he automatically gets pulled into their drama because they're trying to figure out the device that the... what she put together to create the sound of that device.
Yeah, evidently she was supposed to have, like, thrown that in the trash.
Yes.
And she did not throw that in the trash. So pretty much she heel turns, like, immediately. And she's like, yeah, actually, I side with these dudes because, I mean, we done messed up. So basically, you know, let them take back the Earth.
The Orca, that's what it's called.
Yes. Okay. Well, yeah, that
Well, she's sense. Not letting them take back the Earth. She is... if we release them...
it'll fix everything.
...thing, because their radiation that their body releases makes new life grow. Yeah. And I guess they have, like, San Francisco, which was destroyed in the first film, yeah. is now a rainforest?
Yep, pretty much. Maybe radiation works different when it's from monsters.
Maybe. But, anyways, we don't get that for very long. They go down to their secret oil derrick. Base.
They go to Mother Base.
Yeah, they go to Mother Base. They go to Big Shell. And take the elevator down. And they're like, what is the point of this? They're like, so we can monitor Godzilla. But like, you're not supposed to know where he's from or where he's at. They're like, really? No. Godzilla shows up. And this is one of the kind of the cool things. This film has really good sound design.
Yeah,
to give them credit.
I saw it in Dolby Atmos, and I was H-A-R-D the whole time.
Yeah.
It sounded fantastic, and it was the perfect movie to see in that format.
And so Godzilla comes swimming at them like a giant crocodile.
Yes.
And in this version, he can light up his spikes, which I guess is done in other films, but...
yeah. Usually that's a precursor to him using his atomic breath, but I kind of like them using it as like a threat thing, because it...
yeah, and so you just...
it works.
When you hear it, yeah, it's a giant woo.
Yeah.
Woo. Sound.
Yeah.
We get a jump scare, which I called in the theater. I was saying they're kind of like 5, 4, 3. Like, I think they only waited 3 seconds instead of 5, but I'm like,
yeah,
there it is.
It's akin to like an animal's hair standing up when it's threatened, so it checks out.
What is the issue at this point in time? We don't know yet. Well, we cut across to Antarctica, where we see something stuck in the ice.
Yeah, this is where I did get kind of mad at them, because I'm like, ain't nothing good in that ice for you.
Yeah.
I know what's in there. You should leave that alone.
And so we release the first monster.
The worst one to do.
King Ghidorah.
Good old King Ghidorah.
Is he outright called the False King first?
They called him Monster Zero throughout most of it, which was a reference to the first movie title he was in.
Yeah.
And he was called Monster Zero throughout most of that, too. And he was originally, indeed, from space. So they did him right, which was deeply fascinating.
Yeah, I was really surprised that they actually threw, because I remember correctly, yeah, he was from space in the films. I guess I just picked that up somewhere, because I threw Nerd Osmosis. And I'm like, the fact that they actually later say that he later, they attack him and he regrows a head, because he's a Hydra.
Mm-hmm.
He's the basis of the Hydra theory, because... oh, I guess one thing we forgot to talk about is these monsters are titans, as in the actual literal titans from Greek mythology.
Pretty much, yeah. I was a little miffed that they don't really ever use the word kaiju, but there's enough, like,
what do you
basically
think?
Things on screen that reference what they're really called, like Gojira and all that, that I'm like, okay, you get a pass.
That is the one thing from... the one and only line from the 1998. Nostalgia Critic very famously made the "that's a lot of fish" line famous, but my favorite is still...
oh,
it's,
God.
It's called Gojira, you idiot. Not Godzilla. But yeah, so we cut to her. This is where we learn that she's part of the bad guys, and we learn her plan, because they stop the bad guys right before they're about to release them, and then she picks it up and releases them anyways. And somehow the world's, like, strongest safety elevators.
Yes.
Because, like, the building's falling apart around them. And they climb the elevator and it starts going up. And then, like, Kyle Chandler is able to stop his elevator, go back down, and then go back up, and somehow still stay alive.
Yeah. I mean, you know there's some stuff down there, so you probably want to get that nice and sturdy.
Yes. So, they release Ghidorah, and so probably, what, 20 to 30 minutes in, we actually start seeing our first monster fight.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, if you're, and I'm certain you are, referencing the point where he comes up out of the ice and the actual theme sting that we played at the beginning of this episode plays.
Yeah. They played two or three of his themes. Like, yeah. This is one of the things, and to say it as I was watching this film, as I said earlier, it's a good movie. To him, it's one of the best ever made, and that's definitely a feeling of that. Like, I'm watching this going, this is good, this is cool. I haven't watched a lot of big monster films. Yeah. I'm not the big kaiju fan.
This was what I have waited for to see on screen. But yeah,
like, that is the feeling that while I'm watching the film going, if I was into this, this is something special.
It truly was. That was probably one of my favorite moments in cinema ever.
Yeah.
Right now is the introduction of Godzilla for real in this movie. Not just floating around in the ocean, but here to kick some ass.
Yeah, and so...
And Godzilla's energy throughout this movie is very much, heard you were talking shit!
It is, and that's one of the things they said, is they wanted to give the monsters personality, and they definitely did that, especially with Ghidorah, where his different heads, you can tell the center one's the lead head,
yeah,
and the left head and right head don't like each other and would snip at each other until the center head hit them.
Yeah, that's a classical thing. He's always had disagreements among himself.
Yeah.
But, oh man, that scene absolutely did it for me. If I still smoked cigarettes, I would need one after that and just be like, pause the movie, I'll be right back.
But they throw down, and so that was, I think a lot of people took that as the apology for the 2014 film, which is literally, like I said, 30 to 20 minutes in, we get our first big monster fight.
Yeah.
Ghidorah gets the upper hand on this fight because they are on solid land.
Yeah, it was a good monster fight. And a lot of people, the constant criticisms of this film have been, you can't just do hours of monsters fighting. And everyone's response is, that's why we paid money for this.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
That's what we wanted to see. And so, as I said, Ghidorah.
Both are correct.
Both are correct.
There's even Ghidra.
Starts flying away. And we cut back to Kyle Chandler and them trying to figure everything out. That's when we get the official call of her saying, look, if we release these monsters, and then I have what's the Orca, that was the name of the MacGuffin, I have the sound wave machine that can calm all them down. So we release them, they take humanity down a notch, and then we use this machine to send them all back in the hibernation.
Yeah, we all just want a big monster to come put us in our place.
Yeah. And that is her whole entire plan. Eleven starts getting angry at her mom and calls her crazy. She flips off the guy from Game of Thrones.
I was famously 50-50 at this point because I'm like, I see your point.
Yeah, that's kind of the weird thing. But the next one we see, Ghidorah starts moving around. He moves in a giant storm, so he has a tropical storm around him at all points in time that eventually gets up to a class 6 hurricane. Yeah, but
he's basically got lightning powers, so that was his thing.
Yeah. The next one we come to, Mexico, in a volcano. Who can it possibly be?
I know.
It's Rodan, who I do feel kind of bad for in this film.
I'll be honest, it's the best Rodan's ever been.
And you can feel that because, to skip ahead a little bit, there's a scene where they're talking about all the monsters. And so they call Godzilla the king of all the monsters. Mothra, the queen of all the monsters. So has she ever been referred to that as before?
No, not to my knowledge.
From what I remember, Mothra's primarily just been a jobber in the series, haven't she? But she's got her own movies. Yeah.
And mostly, she's, like, a really good support character.
Yeah, I was about to say. Ghidorah, the false king, the fool's heir to the throne, they call him that. And then Rodan, the fire demon. It's just like, Rodan is there. He's alive. He's around.
Again, it's the best he's ever been. I don't even remember him being that remarkable in his own movie.
Yeah. He's cool to stick around. It's cool that we see not only are their bodies dangerous, but like with Rodan, even his wings just flapping are throwing down buildings.
He makes a lot of fire.
He does. It feels like there's a line in there that feels like this film was written to be rated R.
Yeah. I've also seen, we talked about it before, where apparently this movie was 3 hours and they cut it down to two. And if that's true, it kind of makes sense. Because I feel like there are some things that should have been there that weren't, that we're kind of missing. But maybe we'll get like a director's cut Blu-ray or something.
I imagine there's one big thing I think in there that's coming up. But so we get to see more cool fighting. This time Rodan's taking on jets.
Yeah.
Rodan kicks all the butts of all the jets.
All the jets' butts.
Yeah. They have a flying fortress.
Yeah, the thing is cool.
It is.
For the record, S.H.I.E.L.D. has fought Godzilla, so all this checks out.
Has he?
Yes. Because Godzilla was part of the Marvel Universe for a while.
Yeah, that's cool. And he
still technically is, they just call him something else now. So they don't have the rights anymore, but there's still a giant Godzilla-like monster in the Marvel world.
That's cool. And so, yeah, Godzilla, forgive me. They take Rodan and they lead him out to Ghidorah. They get in the fight for like 30 seconds. Rodan, as I said, Rodan jobs in this film, so Rodan just loses. He loses to Ghidorah in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, the thing I've consistently seen is Rodan is the Starscream of this film.
Yeah.
And it absolutely checks out, and it's the most personality he's ever had. God bless him.
Like I said, they fight for 30 seconds. It's kind of cool. Then Godzilla shows back up.
Yeah.
And we get the second matchup between Ghidorah and Godzilla. Godzilla, being in the water, is in his natural habitat this time. And so Godzilla just thrashes Ghidorah and starts trying to drown him.
All the monster fights in this movie are so good, and I still feel like there just wasn't enough of them.
Yeah. They were really cool. And then, so we get another bit of Godzilla lore here, if I believe correctly. He gets yanked down into the water. They're hanging out in the ocean. Mm-hmm. And then they drop an oxygen bomb.
Yeah, the oxygen destroyer, which is what kills him in the 54 film. Except it doesn't.
No, it doesn't, but isn't like the oxygen destroyer a big thing through the first three films?
The oxygen destroyer basically is what originally kills Godzilla, but he kind of resurfaces later. I guess he has a regenerative power of a sort. But the oxygen destroyer also comes back in the Heisei series because it is the use of that that creates a new monster.
Yeah. Like I said, the oxygen destroyer, I think, was definitely... That feels like probably something that our missing footage probably had a lot more in, because that's supposed to be a huge deal. That's like one of the big Easter eggs.
Yep.
Besides, as I said, there's a lot of original kaiju themes that I don't know that were in this film.
Well, Dr. Serizawa is the inventor of the oxygen destroyer, but it's not in this one.
Yeah.
So...
Ken Watanabe's character, but no, yeah. Well, I think they just decided to make him the biggest pro-Godzilla, because even at the beginning of the film, we should kill Godzilla. And Ken Watanabe's like, no, screw y'all. We're not going to kill Godzilla.
As well he should be.
But, so they use the oxygen destroyer, and it ends up killing Godzilla, and that's what I was saying. For the 30 seconds, it's like they could grab his bones and then make Mechagodzilla if they really wanted to, but I don't think they're going to do that.
No, I don't think that will be the thing this time.
No. This is where we get the largest chunk of human, of just pure humans only. Kind of, I guess not, we get a, so Ghidorah regenerates. This is where we learn that the reason that Ghidorah,
he can do that.
Yeah, the reason he can regenerate is because he's not from this Earth. And the one scientist, as I said, Bradley Whitford's character, actually, I quite like Bradley Whitford, so I liked him in this film. But, as I said last podcast, he says, he's like, there's no nature. He's not following the laws of nature. And I'm like, they're giant monsters that are titans. I don't think they have to follow the laws of nature.
Nope.
It's a nice thing that they made him from space like he is supposed to be. But yeah, just the light and feet, they're following no rules of nature. They don't have to, man. But, once again... That's kind of being off topic. We see them release a bunch of jobber kaiju.
Yeah. As I've looked more and more into it, a lot of those, some are references to Toho monsters, but a lot of them are just there.
Yeah.
So
there's a giant woolly mammoth gorilla.
Yeah, there is big old spiders, which I believe are references to Kamonga, which is a just Toho giant spider monster. Would have been sick to see, like, Hedora the smog monster, or Ebira the terror of the deep, who's a big old shrimp. Alas.
I did laugh, though, because the giant spider monsters almost looked like a Cloverfield.
Yeah, a little bit.
They were the same shape and almost had the same face. But, so they start running around. They're trying to figure out what to do. They go back to their head base. They realize, oh, right. Godzilla and Ghidorah have been fighting for centuries, and literally the only thing that can fight off Ghidorah is Godzilla.
Whoops.
Yeah. Whoops. Yep. That's literally basically what one of the soldiers says. They start trying to figure this out, and then they find Godzilla's heartbeat again.
He's all right. Well, kind of.
Yeah. We get to take off, and as I said, this is the longest chunk of human drama. Eleven starts fighting with her mother through this. This is where we start learning that Game of Thrones, I guess we should probably actually say his real name.
Oh, I know it. Charles Dance.
Yeah, Charles Dance. He's the one that fully just straight up says, look, I was a British war general. I don't like war. Screw humans. Just let them kill everyone. Because I guess their original plan was they're going to wake up monsters one by one.
Yeah, but they're just like, no, just let them all out.
Yeah.
What's the worst that can happen?
And so he becomes the extremist of, no, let's give the Earth back to the Titans. We're just going to do that now.
And again, I'm just kind of like, yeah.
Yeah. We come a bit further in. They go on a submarine adventure. We come to the lair of Godzilla, which... Was that Atlantis?
Well, possibly. Because I don't know for sure what that was referencing, but you referenced the Matt McMuscles video earlier, and there was at one point something with, I think one of the drafts of American Godzilla was supposed to have him being from Atlantis.
Yeah, and so we come to a giant underwater old civilization, and it's like, I think this is Atlantis that they're referencing, but they don't want to say the words Atlantis. Yeah,
it could just be pretty much anywhere. It looked vaguely Egyptian. It looked vaguely a lot of things.
Was, and the Earth is hollow. Congratulations, yeah. All you conspiracy theorists, you win on that one. And there are a bunch of interconnected tunnels in between.
Yeah, and you know what? That was a decent use of that. At least it's not as dumb as Flat Earth.
It's not. So the interconnected tunnels, we come up to and find the lair of Godzilla.
Yeah, he's just chilling down there like, do not feel good.
No, I guess it's a giant radiation lair.
Yeah, I guess being closer to the Earth's core or something could make sense.
It definitely could. They start letting
recharging.
They start letting out more and more. He's trying to slowly lap up radiation, but unfortunately, we can't do that. So the reason they went down there is they just got a nuclear bomb, and we're like, we're just going to jumpstart Godzilla.
Yep, they're going to give him a buff with an atomic warhead.
Yep.
Which, you know, have we learned nothing? But apparently in this case we haven't, because it works.
It does.
Unfortunately, we lose our boy.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we lose Ken Watanabe in...
I was legitimately upset because I wanted him in all of these movies because he's just so good.
He is, and he has given his all. There is a bit of slight ridiculousness with that scene where he starts, like... He's supposed to be basically standing in a nuclear reactor's core right now, next to lava in this volcano, and he is still able to remove his helmet and everything, yeah. And like walk up to Godzilla, and it's a very touching moment of him touching the hand of Godzilla, going, goodbye, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be at least semi-hospitable for Godzilla to be alive in there too, so.
Yeah.
it could have some sort of atmosphere thing going on. But
it could. I did halfway expect, like, him to come back out of the water and, like, when Godzilla just opens his mouth and, like, drops Ken Watanabe on it.
Oh, that would have been sick.
No, unfortunately not. He would have had so much cancer already with the amount of radiation he had, but...
Would you like to break and go to the shill zone?
Sure.
All right. Hey, welcome to the shill zone. It's the brief part of the podcast where we let our brains rest for a minute and talk about things and ways in which you can support our show if you'd like to. That being, we have our Redbubble site, which we have our stickers, shirts, and various other ephemera on that you can buy, and we get a small portion of if you do. We have our Patreon, which directly supports us. We still have Ty, Claire, and a new patron, if you would like to introduce them.
Yes, big thank you. Shout out to my father, William Boyle. Thank you for helping us support this and make this.
Indeed. Thank you a whole lot. We really, really appreciate it. Got a sticker on the way.
Yeah.
I am thinking about setting us up on TeePublic because maybe it's better than Redbubble. To be determined. But yeah, thank you all for everything you're doing for us. We really appreciate it. And I hope to see maybe more of you in the future. And thus concludes the shill zone. I don't think the cue worked. Moving on.
But moving on. So, that's okay. There's not much left to this. Anyways, Godzilla comes back. Comes out. Super irradiated Godzilla.
Yeah, we get burning Godzilla, which if you're a Godzilla fan, you're like, oh no! Because that is the form of Godzilla that is dying.
Yeah.
But instead of him melting down as though a reactor core would, it just makes him super strong in this movie for some reason.
It does, but so 11 somehow set up the signal at Wrigley Field in Boston.
Yeah.
And somehow, like, they're broadcasting the signal, which somehow broadcasts across the whole entire planet. That part I didn't quite get, but...
Maybe they were... No, they probably weren't all generalized to that area.
We don't know. They broadcast it. It calms all the monsters down for a little bit. But Ghidorah and Godzilla are both automatically drawn to that signal. They've been trying to figure out what the last bit of the signal was this whole entire film Kyle Chandler has. And it turns out it's...
It's us!
It's humans. She used humans screaming in there, I guess.
I guess, but, you know, it works.
Yeah. It's there. Somehow humans give off an alpha signal. I don't know what that is. If it's just Kyle grunting in the gym, who knows, but...
We are the most dangerous animal of all.
He is.
Look except, at our planet.
Except for that one giant alligator in Africa.
I do not know about this alligator, but I'd like to get to know it.
Yeah, there's a... the movie Primeval.
Is it wearing sunglasses?
No, but the movie Primeval...
So this alligator is fictional?
I believe it was real, but, like, the movie Primeval, when it had its thing, it's, like, the most prolific serial killer in all of human history.
And it's a giant gator.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's like, but we've been trying to profile this guy for years.
Turns out, it's a giant gator that got a taste for humans because they kept flooding them down the body.
All right. Oh. Cool. You scary, nature.
That you are. But anyways, they're all drawn to Boston. Ghidorah shows up. Godzilla shows up. They start fighting. Ghidorah gets the upper hand. Mothra, Rodan shows up and starts attacking Godzilla.
Yeah. Rodan burns up our girl a little bit.
Yeah.
But she's okay-ish.
Mothra comes in, starts helping Godzilla. She sticks his three heads in. She has a stinger this time. I don't know if that's in the rest of the films.
Not to my knowledge, though. Shooting sticky stuff thing has always been there.
Yeah.
And the glittery dust has always been there. But.
Yeah. She shanks Rodan, and you can practically hear the word bitch come out of her mouth after she does it. Stares Rodan down, like, a brief second. Yeah, this traditionally would have been when the line bitch comes out of the mouth and then flutters away.
Yeah, Mothra was sick in this movie. Like, we didn't get enough of her, but I liked that they just made her, like, super tough.
They did. Mothra tries to take on Ghidorah, gets defeated in, like, 10 seconds from a giant lightning blast, because Ghidorah... You never watched Fairy Tail, right?
No.
The monster people, in order to use their powers, have to eat, quote-unquote. And so they have to eat metal, lightning, things like that, and Ghidorah eats lightning. Yeah. If you see the film, it makes a little bit more sense. But yeah, Ghidorah eats a power plant, and somehow that supercharges Ghidorah.
That is something that he usually does. So
yes, and so throughout that, he starts winning versus Godzilla, and that's sort of one of the things is to say it. It's like a 2-3 count that Ghidorah technically beats Godzilla twice. And Godzilla, like, wins in the end, so I guess it's even 2-2.
Yeah. Traditionally, King Ghidorah usually does get the upper hand on him for a while because he's one of the biggest villains in the franchise overall.
Yep, and they needed him to be the big villain. And
I again feel like he will be back.
He most likely will, especially after that up to credit, but we'll get there.
Yes. O'Shea Jackson Jr. says what none of us are thinking, which is, hey, Godzilla and Mothra, are they hooking up?
Yeah. And
and the answer is, no, they have more of a symbiotic relationship where one supports the other. But maybe.
Is it Sprint? Is that the one he does for?
I've never seen him in a thing for them. Or any ad, for that matter.
He either does Verizon or Sprint. The guy from Silicon Valley. But yeah. He either shills for one of those two companies. Yeah, replies. Mm. Symbiotic relationships happen all the time.
Okay, I know who you're talking about now.
Yeah. But that happens. at this point in time, they cut away for more human drama, which is them trying to fix the orca so that they can give Godzilla a breather.
Yeah, it's... Oh, man.
And also, they went down to Wrigley Field to try and save his daughter, to try and save Kyle Chandler's daughter.
Yeah, they get into a big argument, trying to figure out where she is. He says, if y'all were my parents, I would run away from home, too.
Which, by the way, who's maintaining their house, do you think?
Good question.
Kyle Chandler, I believe, is said to be in Colorado. They live in a fake house in, where was it, the jungle?
Yeah. I don't remember where exactly that Monarch Station was when we started.
Yeah, Buenos Aires or someplace like that.
Yeah.
I guess there was a monster in Boston, but they didn't say which one it was, because there was a Monarch Station there.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a giant shrimp.
That would be sick. I hope it was.
And it just kept... It couldn't make it on the land, so it just hung out in the ocean the whole entire film and no one saw it. Or Godzilla ate it on the way back into Boston.
It's just drinking all the leftover tea.
Yeah. But no, they save her. The evil doctor has a face turn, saves her family by driving around with the orca, because Ghidorah still wants to destroy the orca. She eventually destroys it, hits her, flips her car. We get the, what was one of the opening lines of the film. We get one of the closing lines, which is, long live the king. Godzilla shows up, and Godzilla just burns off all that extra radiation, which I guess you're saying he doesn't normally do?
No. No. The giant nuke stomp move that he does is brand new to my knowledge. It was cool. It was absolutely sick, but normally he just sort of does his best in his burning state and then melts down and has to be mostly frozen by human support teams.
Yeah.
famously, that Godzilla versus Destoroyah ends on an arc they never revisit, in which he transfers all his energy into Godzilla Jr. before he dies, and Godzilla Jr. just leaves. And that's the end of that series. So, unless you do what I do and just believe that the one in Final Wars is Godzilla Jr., yeah.
Now, do you believe that's the one in the Hanna-Barbera cartoon?
Sure.
But no, yeah, he does a nuclear stomp slash is just letting out radiation after radiation. And that's, this was another thing in the film, which is...
Everyone's super dead in a couple of years.
Yeah, because she lets out like 3 radiation blasts and they take that full on, like no shielding whatsoever. I'm like, I hope y'all like the taste of paint because you're just about to get pumped full of it.
Yes.
Because that's what, I forget the name of it, but that chemical that they wash you with.
Ooh.
Blue something, isn't it?
I know exactly what you're talking about, but I don't remember what it's called either.
Yeah, it's paint-based, though. So, yeah, you get the taste of paint in your mouth the whole entire time they're washing you out with it. But, yeah, Godzilla is the final shot, and this is what a lot of people are saying for a lot of the Godzilla fans, that this is almost like a masturbatory shot, is the other monsters come up, Rodan, the two jobbers. Mothra had sacrificed herself at this point in time, quote unquote.
Yeah, she does that.
She does that to give Godzilla more time and energy. So I guess that's probably the extra thing that allowed him to get out of the burning state.
Yeah, that could have like given him another buff that saved him from melting down. So that checks out.
But yeah,
it was.
They all come and they bow down to the king, and it ends on a straight Godzilla roar.
It was so good.
Yeah, and then we get flashes over the credits of hints at Godzilla versus...
Yeah, Kong versus Godzilla, or Godzilla versus Kong will probably be called one or the other, depending on where you live, if they do it like they did the original.
Or Battle of the Kings.
Yeah, could go either way. I believe...
But we get different flashes there. It turns out that evil scientist lady was right. Those were kind of the weirdest flashes, which is... Yeah, it actually really did help save the Earth.
Yeah.
Because more fish and endangered species are getting taken off the list, and we're showing all these different things, and it's like, that was a really weird thing to put in there. I get why you did it. It's the exact same thing that Thanos was technically right in the Avengers. For like 30 seconds, they talk about that.
But... Yeah. There is a sick reference. There are many throughout the end credits scene, but... do you know in the original Godzilla movie there is a added character for the West named Steve Martin?
Yeah.
But not that Steve Martin. I feel like they should call him that the whole time. But, you know, he predates the famous Steve Martin.
Yeah.
But there is a article they show that's written by Steven Martin. And I was like, oh, that's sick.
Yeah, that's one of the Easter eggs and things like that that I wasn't able to pick up on is, yeah, they very famously re-edited that film. There are a few people that consider that the better version of the film, aren't there?
Yeah. I mean, both stand on their own merits. I think
pretty much shorter, isn't it?
Yeah, and I feel like pretty much either way you watch it, because I have the... I don't know if it's a Criterion edition or some super fancy edition of it, but it's got both cuts, and they're both really dark films for the time that they come from.
Yeah.
Just very full of despair. But I just thought that they did that, and there was just references, if you grew up on this stuff, just shotgun blasted all over this movie. It was just frame after frame of, hey, I understood that. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I get that too.
Yeah.
So I am just... I don't know if I expected it to... be as good or enjoy it as much as I did, but I'm really happy I saw it. I basically saw it by complete accident. I had no plans to see it that weekend, but my in-laws, Javier and Lorraine, were like, hey, we got an extra ticket to see Godzilla King of the Monsters, and daughter's friend can't come, so we were going to take Presley, but we saw when we mentioned it how you reacted, so we took you instead. Because I'm like, my baby doesn't care about this. That's not actually what I said, but they were like, we feel like Josh is probably going to like this more.
Did they put a Breaking Bad reference in there? Because didn't they have What's a King to a God when they were playing up the...
I think that's just a famous line in general.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that was necessarily a Breaking Bad reference. If it is, I mean, I guess it's because he was in 2014.
Yeah.
For a minute.
But they keep going further and further down, and it gets closer and closer to Skull Island, where I guess they have discovered a new one under Skull Island.
Ooh.
And they say that a large egg has been found. It's implied that Mothra has already reformed a cocoon somewhere.
Nice.
But anyways, after all that...
For some reason, Mechagodzilla comes out of the egg. Yeah. Everyone's real confused.
You get to sit there. You sit through the credits, and you come to the final scene where they're talking about, huh, everything's doing better, but there's this weird part where people are still, or things are still dying. Hmm. What is it? And it turns out that two fishermen fished out a Ghidorah head.
Nice.
And we see a Ghidorah head, and we see Mr. Game of Thrones sit there and go, I'll take it. So I guess that is a big hint at Mecha Ghidorah, which I think is a thing.
Mecha King Ghidorah, which is basically King Ghidorah, except his head in the middle is like a robot, and his chest has a cavity where people pilot it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, somehow he's still an evil bastard, so hey. Yeah, they really cranked him up to 11 and just being like a dick. It was great.
They really did.
I loved this movie, as you can probably tell. Like, I thought I was gonna have more to say about it, but really all I can summon was, like, that was great. Like, I am super happy I got to see that. Thank you all for taking me, if you are listening for whatever reason. I do eventually plan to take my daughter on a Godzilla journey, because I'm like, if you like dinosaurs, what's not to like here? So, but yeah, I was completely, like, elated after that film. I was literally, like, shaking. So.
Yeah, no, it was a really good film. I really liked it. As I said, I'm not the biggest, or that was probably the first Godzilla film I've ever seen. So the only other kaijus I've really ever seen are Pacific Rim, so.
Yeah, I would say those count. It's of the same spirit.
Kind of. I guess technically I have seen Jet Jaguar.
Hell yeah.
Because the super best friend said a let's watch of that. And I watched that video. And so, I guess technically the second film, but...
Oh, Jet Jaguar.
Yeah.
Do you know the story behind Jet Jaguar?
Yeah, you've told me.
Okay.
If you want to share it.
Sure, I'll tell everybody. So basically, Toho was like, hey, we're having a contest where kids can design the next monster to appear in these films. So go ahead, send us your submissions. So, I don't know if they got an overwhelming abundance of, or they just picked it and went, whoops. But I feel like, oh, no, does Ultraman belong to them even? I think it's a different production company. Let me double check this. But either way, they got Ultraman as the submission that won, I guess. And they're like, uh-oh. So basically, Jet Jaguar is Ultraman, but without the name.
Yeah. And once again, very famously, Mystery Science Theater has the credits of the translated credit song.
Yeah.
That I think people would have seen, but...
So, it looks like the movie Ultraman is basically a Toho thing. But it is... I'm trying to find the actual name of this production company. Yeah. Subraya Productions owns him, and it's distributed through Toho. So I guess it counts but doesn't count, but yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, but it was a really good film in the end. I liked it.
11 out of 10. Please see many times.
Alright. You want to play us out?
No, I still want to talk about Godzilla. But yes, I will place out.